So yesterday was one of those days. So I worked from 10 a.m. yesterday till 10 a.m. last night. And so Gary calls, so I answer it, start talking to him, and I could hear about half the conversation just because of all the sound that was around me. But the gist of it was, do you feel like you have anything for Sunday morning? Everything inside of me at that moment was, let's come up with as many excuses as you can. And honestly, at that moment, I said, I don't think I can do it. And later, I had to leave the store and go service a couple other stores. Whenever I was driving and it was quiet, I had a chance to hear what the Holy Ghost really wanted to say to me. I realized then that, yeah, the Lord does want me to speak. And for those of you who are aspiring to ministry, that you know that that's what God's called you to, ministry does not always come in a convenient time. You know, it doesn't happen when you think it's supposed to happen. It doesn't happen like you think it's going to happen. It doesn't happen because you've had 3 days to sit and meditate on the word and you feel all full of the Holy Ghost and you're ready to go and deliver the word. Generally, it's just not like that. I had an opportunity the other day. There was a guy standing there. And this was the picture. He's standing there, both arms wrapped up and suspended beside of him. You know, clearly, this guy's in pain. He's just standing there. It's like, don't touch me, you know. So I see this gentleman, and I walk right past him, just right out the door. He was standing by the doorway. Walked right out the door, got almost into the parking lot area. And it's getting to the point now where the Holy Ghost is like, aren't you going to do something? I'm working right now, Lord. I've got things I need to do. But it's getting to the point now inside of me where it's getting so strong that I couldn't go any farther. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just couldn't go away without doing something. You know, when you have the answer, and we have the answer, it's getting harder and harder to keep that answer inside of me and not share it with somebody. Is it that way with you? I hope it is. I really do. And I believe it is. I believe for the people that are members of this church, it's going to get so strong that it's just a daily occurrence. So, of course, because I couldn't take another step without hearing his voice inside of me, I turned around, walked back inside. And what do you say to somebody? I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, you need prayer. I looked at the guy. I said, you look like you're in pain. You could use some prayer. And he's like, yeah. Then he goes, you know, proceeds to tell me all the things that are wrong with him. I'm like, no, I don't have time, okay? But he had 2 broke wrists and something happened to his leg and what, you know, just a lot of things. So I just laid my hands on him and I prayed. And I just turned around and left. That was it. I delivered what I believe I was supposed to in that moment. And you know, in all of the messages that I've preached up to this point, that's what it's all about. It's hearing his voice, seeing what he wants you to do, understanding what it is, and just doing it. And, of course, at that particular moment, you know, you feel like, well, this isn't the right time. I don't feel the anointing. I don't feel. Well, it doesn't matter how we feel. It's the Word of God. It's the authority. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's the authority in the name of Jesus that I release when I pray for these people, and I expect to see something happen. Amen? And of course, my wife said, did he raise his hands up in the air all of a sudden? Well, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to tell him what to do. But, you know, I believe that the man's healed. You know, I'm not going to just pray for somebody and not believe that they're healed. So I want to encourage you in your daily life. I know you're probably already looking for these opportunities, but begin to expect them more frequently. You know, think about the economic situation that we're in. Some of these people don't have, you know, they don't have the means to go and get the medical attention that they need. And I believe that that's going to get more and more. So when they don't have any other place to look, and you're offering the answer to them, they're going to be a little more receptive. I know in this situation, this gentleman was like, yes, I'll take prayer. You know, I'll take prayer. Go ahead, lay it on me. And praise God. God will show up. So in my previous messages, we've been looking at the agreeing with the mind of Christ, which is from Gary's face-to-face. And in this agreeing with the mind of Christ, you can use this as a confession. Now, if you go on the website, it's under his face-to-face, and I think it's printed material. I'm not for sure about that. But you can make this out as a confession for yourself. Say these things. Begin to have your mind conforming to this image. And I want to look at one particular part of this. And I'd like for you to confess this with me. I am Christ's agent of authority on the earth. The Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power, with whom I am to co-labor on the earth. The Holy Spirit and I co-labor to bring the will of the Father from heaven to earth. Now, what I want to focus on, agent of authority, that's our part. His part is the agent of power. Authority and power. Open your Bibles to John 16 and verse 7. And there, we're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning. And most of them, you're going to say, I'm very familiar with those scriptures. Part of the teaching anointing, part of being a teacher, a lot of times, is reminding you of things that maybe you've learned before, but you've laid them down, or they're just not fresh inside of you. So we go over these things. How many times has Pastor Dave stood up here and talked about praying in tongues? Can you almost repeat verbatim what he's going to say next when he starts on the examples? But you know, every time he does that, something happens on the inside of you. I know for myself, when he stands up here, I don't care if it was last week, and he starts talking about praying in tongues, it makes me want to pray in tongues more. Has anybody else experienced that? I want to pray in tongues when the man speaks about praying in tongues. I don't care if I've heard it 1,000 times before, and I've heard the same examples before. It's because he's speaking under the anointing, and all of a sudden it reaches inside of me and it grabs me, and it says, and it kind of shines that light. You need to be doing this more. You need to be doing this more. That's the teaching anointing. It recognizes where the audience is and it begins to minister to that need. So this morning, as we look at power and authority, it's important for you to understand what your authority is in the earth and the fact that you have to use that authority. Authority that's not used means nothing. If you have, for example, a police officer, and we all know this example, he stands there directing traffic. If the man just stands in an intersection, doesn't raise his hands, doesn't do anything to exert the authority that he has, no one pays attention to him. He can stand there and get run over. So he has to do something. How do we release our authority in the earth? Through our words. When we release, when we speak the words, the Holy Spirit is empowered to do something. When I prayed for that gentleman the other day, released the word, spoke to the pain, commanded the pain to leave his body, the Holy Spirit now has something to work with. What happened if I hadn't done that? What would have happened had I just walked away, ignored the whole situation? No authority would have been released. The Holy Spirit would have nothing to work with. He's looking. He's waiting for us to release the authority that we've been invested with. So John 16, verse 7, very familiar scripture. Oh, and by the way, when I was talking to Jesus yesterday about preaching this morning, he let me know that if I stand up here, he would fill my mouth. And, you know, I've done this, not just here, but I've done this many times. But this is some of the first times that I've stood up and ministered without having pages and pages of notes, days of studying, where he reaches down inside of me and pulls something out. It's like tightrope walking without the net. But so that's where I'm at in this, and you know, I believe that this will minister to you, because I believe that this understanding our authority, understanding the power of God that is available to us when we exercise our authority, these are the keys to revival, because it's like calling in the lost. The confessions that are made, this is how we see change happen in this world. So looking at John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I think that's so interesting that Jesus has to tell us that he's going to tell us the truth. It is expedient. And that word expedient means advantage, be better for, profitable. It'd be better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And you understand what Gary's issue with it. Lord, if you were still here, I'm trying to get your mind to go down a certain direction. If you were still here, somewhere on this planet, no matter how long it took me, even if I had to walk to get to you, I know that I would have the answer to my prayers. I know that if you were here still on this earth, all I'd have to do is find you. And if I was sick, I know I'd be healed if you just laid your hand on me. And here he says, I'm going to tell you the truth, boys. It's better off for you if I leave. Now, I want you, as many times as you've heard that, don't let that just pass by you. Boys, I want you to understand, this is the truth. It's better off for you It's better for you, better if I leave than if I stay. Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And he's going to, I just love to preach about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you why. He shows up just like that. You start talking about the Holy Ghost. Oh, he loves that. He shows up. He said, if I stay here, it's not going to be as good. But when I leave, I'm going to pray the Father and he's going to send that Holy Ghost and that Holy Spirit, that Comforter. The Comforter is going to abide with you forever. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. And that word power, we're going to look at a couple of, we're going to look at the words that the Bible uses, some of the words they use when they use the word power. The word power in this instance is dunamis, miraculous power. It's the might of God. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm thinking to myself, here these guys are, and you're telling them, this is Jesus before his ascension, you're telling them, you're going to receive the power of God. You're going to operate in the power of God yourselves. And here these gentlemen have watched him. Yes, they have ministered. But now they've ministered with him here. Now they're going to minister and he's not here. And he's telling them the power of God is going to be made available to you. The dunamis. Not exousia, which is the word for authority, but the power of God. How would that have sounded to you if you're standing there listening to Jesus tell you that I'm making this available to you, the very power of God. The very power of God is being made available to you. Think about the power of God. How can that be? And I think about my own life. How much of that is being manifested each and every day? And it's available. It's available. And how much of it am I walking in? How much? Not even a thimbleful. Part of the reason is because of the level of change that I'm at. You know, it doesn't do us any good if I stand up here and I'm not as transparent as anybody else. It's the faults that are still inside of me that are stopping me. Stopping God. He wants to use me far beyond what I'm being used at this moment. But it's the part of me that I haven't put on the altar and allowed to die. Those are what hold me back. He wants to. He wants to do so much, so much. And it's me. It's that part of me that's unregenerated that wants to, oh, just let me take a nap. I don't want to do that spiritual stuff right now. Let me do this. Let me do something else. Let me occupy my time in another way. Because see, you have that authority. It's up to you how you spend your time. And unfortunately, in so many instances, my time has been spent in a way that's not profitable to my spirit man. And as a result, even though God wants to use me much more than I could even imagine, I'm only being utilized about a thimbleful. I got to die more. I've got to assist the Holy Spirit in putting to death those parts of me that keep him from using me. Because it's like the example that Dave told us. You don't put the power of God into the hands of a juvenile. You don't put that kind of awesome power into the hands of someone who could hurt themselves, could hurt someone else. And remember, I confessed a few weeks ago about my inability to keep my hand off of the horn of the car. I'm getting better, though. I mean, I put my hand towards the horn, but I don't honk it like I want to shoot the person anymore. So I am graduating to a higher level of mortification with my horn. But that's just a small example. You think about the things that you say with your mouth. If the authorities release through your words, just take a moment and think about this past week. Think about the words that you spoke over this past week. How many of those words do you really want to see come to pass? 100% of them? Maybe not all of them. Maybe a small portion of them. My point is this. If this is how we're going to see the authority that we have empowered with the power of God, and that's what this agreeing with the mind of Christ said. If we're going to see that, we have to speak things that are according to the word of God. Amen? It's very simple. I mentioned this before about Debbie. I tell you, I'm learning more from her, living with her, watching her, than I am from almost any preacher that ever taught me confession outside of this church. I'm learning more from her. She will not let you speak a word that's not according to the word of God regarding her body. You know, trying to ask her if something is wrong, you can tell, I mean, you know, when you're hurting, you know how you look. You know, it's not a mystery to somebody walking by you that you're in pain. But try to ask her to speak something other than but what agrees with the word of God is not going to happen. It just won't happen. The only thing, when you stick her, the only thing that comes out of her is the word of God. And I can attest to you that that's why she is alive. It's the reason why. Had she said anything other than that, anything, I don't believe she'd be alive today. And I think about myself. I've dealt with this situation with my eyes. And I stood right there, and Pastor Dave, I was sitting there, and Pastor Dave had a word of knowledge at last year's conference. And the word that he said was tear ducts. And the reason I'm mentioning this right now is somebody in this room needs this. The word was tear ducts. He was standing right here. I was sitting right here. Pretty close. He said tear ducts. He said, I've never said that before. And it just so happened that for the last 8 months preceding then, I had been to the eye doctor approximately every 2 weeks for 8 months. Sometimes it would stretch out to a whole 4 weeks, but it had gotten to the point it was 2 weeks. Now I'm bringing this up because somebody needs to hear this. Plus, I am telling on myself to a certain degree. From that moment, the problem that I had, it stopped. And the problem was, there's a dryness in my eyes, and the outer layer of my eye would peel away. It would get so dry, it would just peel away. From that moment, it stopped. November, December, January, February, March, no problems. Something happened. A migraine headache, and the next thing I know, a few weeks later, these symptoms are coming back. And you know, when you have those kind of symptoms, I'm telling you, okay, just imagine this. The outside part of your eye peels away. Do you think that hurts? The one thing you want to do is just, there were times you just wanted to scrape your eyes. It just hurt that bad sometimes. The guilty part of this for me is I talked about it. I spoke about the problem instead of speaking to the problem. Instead of speaking healing to my eyes, wholeness to my eyes. And I let the door fly open. The symptoms, I believe, had I spoke exactly the word of God, the symptoms, I believe, would have left. I have had to deal with these things since about April until the day, which is in August. That's irritating. When you know better, and I know better. I mean, here I live with an example, perfect example of someone doing it the right way, and yet I still fell into that trap. Has anybody else besides me fallen into that trap? For the rest of you, we'll pray for your honesty later. It's too easy when you know that it's the words of your mouth that you speak, and yet you speak the problem instead of the answer. And it's even worse than that. Not only do I live with her, but we play every night Kenneth Hagin's teaching about healing and about authority. Now you would think with the tape, with that going all the time, seeing her doing it, that I wouldn't slip in that area. You would think I'd have enough sense not to, don't you? Well, but I am speaking against it. And I think the hardest thing now for me is the fact that when you've been free and then you let the door open, it's establishing that consistency. It's consistency. Speaking it all the time, all the time. You don't get to take a break on this. And I come from a background where sympathy is deadly. Sympathy can kill you. And sympathy was a high commodity where I come from. I mean, it just, being sick, you get the attention. Oh, poor me. That kind of stuff does not get you healed. It just doesn't. And I know from whenever, just looking at Debbie at times, it was the hardest thing for me with that kind of a background not to run over and just start pouring out sympathy on her. And she didn't come from that background. She's cut from a different type of cloth than most people. She's rigid. She's tough. She didn't want that, which helped her. It helped her survive. Had she been the kind of person that accepted that kind of sympathy, she might not have made it. You have to be, I'll tell you what, you got to be tough to do this. You have got to be tough. This is not a walk for babies. It is just not. So I want to get back to the original theme of this. The power and the authority. Turn over to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. It says, "And with great power, dunamis, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." With great power. Folks, they had the power of God manifesting. When they prayed, the place would shake. The place. What's it going to be like when this place shakes? Have you even thought about it? Have you expected it? The place to shake. The power of God to be so strong that the facilities. You know, we're not, this thought just came to me. We're not a church that's satisfied with coming together Sunday morning, Wednesday night, to satisfy some religious obligation. We expect to see something. Amen? We expect to see the manifested power of God, not just in Pastor Dave, in each of us. How is that? Because a resident anointing is available to each one of us who's willing to pay a price, who's willing to get back up on that altar a little bit longer, die a little bit more. Because it's too easy not to. Can everyone agree with that? It is too easy not to get on that altar. It's too easy to slide off of it and get back into the normal everyday same-o, same-o. The devil of same-o. Until a day goes by and a week goes by and a year goes by and you're still the same person. Hate to think about that. I hate that. That right there is just nauseating. Isn't it? I don't want to be the same. And that desire not to be the same has to exceed the desire to sit on my behind and do nothing. It has to. Let me paint this picture for you real quick. Hold on to these thoughts. Where did I learn this from? Dave Roberson. In the next moment, you're not here. You're in heaven. You're standing in front of him. You're looking him eyeball to eyeball. And it can happen just like that. You're here 1 minute, you're gone the next, and then you're standing there looking at him. And all of eternity is in front of you. And everything that you did on this earth is weighed in a balance. The fire comes down on the altar and it burns. And you look at what's left. What is left standing there is what you have as your reward for eternity. We're not talking about for a year or two. We're talking about forever. Forever and ever. To no end of time. In this short expanse of time that we live in today, that's here today and gone tomorrow, how we spent it, what we did in it. It doesn't seem like I should be 45 years old. I feel like I just got my driver's license yesterday. I did. I feel that way. I feel like I just started being an adult. And here I look at myself in comparison with some of the kids that I work with, and I think, oh my gosh, I'm 20 years older than these people. How can that be? Where did those 20 years go? They evaporated. And I think about, look at this. Those 20 years seem to have evaporated, but if I think about fasting for 10 days or 5 days or 1 day, doesn't it seem like forever? Doesn't it seem that way? It's like those 20 years, man, they did poof. Oh, a whole day of fasting. Oh my goodness, I can't do that. Isn't it funny how it's like that? But if we're ever going to see the change, it's going to have to be because we crawl back up on that altar and we say, I am just not satisfied. I read this with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. I want the great power manifested in my life. I want to lay my hands and just watch the power of God just completely engulf somebody. I want to see that. It's not enough for me to come here anymore. And as wonderful as it is, and as much as I love him, it's not enough to see me watch Dave lay hands on someone else and the power of God manifest in their body and they're engulfed in the power of God. That's not enough. I want to see that. I want to be that person laying their hands. And you do too. Or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't take the tongue lashings about praying in tongues week after week if you didn't want to see the same thing that I want to see. There's something stirring up. And you got to stir yourself up. You have to do that stirring. You've got to be the one. I'm hungry for you, God. I mean, you walk around your house and you say that for about an hour. And I'm telling you what, you're going to cause something to happen inside of you. Those words are going to cause something in you to begin to change. I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I'm hungry to be changed, Lord. Jesus. I want to change. Help me. Give the Holy Ghost something he can work with. Walking around thinking and daydreaming about this doesn't cause the change to happen. It doesn't. You can daydream about this forever and you will not see the change. I'm hungry for you. The Lord is dealing with me right now about the private worship, about sitting there, those extended periods of time worshiping Him, just sitting there and worshiping Him. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I see in Dave something that I want, and he is told me how he got there. Guess what? If he got there, I can get there. I might be years and years off. That's fine. But at least I know how he did it. I see the results that he has. And I'm willing to follow him while he follows Jesus. I'm willing to follow Gary, following Dave, following Jesus. I don't care how long that line is. We're following Jesus. I'll just take my place in the line. You know, that was my biggest problem at the beginning. I wanted to be at the head of the line. Honest. I wanted to be at the head of the line. That's where Jesus is. My thought was, Lord, I know what you call me to. I can take care of it from here. I know how to get things done, Jesus. Just leave it all up to me. We'll get it done. It doesn't work that way. But you know, I finally matured enough. I don't want to be at the head of the line. I don't care where my place is in the line. I don't care. It's like coming up here this morning. You know, there are other people in the sound of my voice that's more capable at this moment to deliver the bread than I am. I understand that. But you know, I said yes. I just said yes. Use me at whatever level you can use me at. Whatever level of mortification I'm at right now, you can use me. It's not going to be the most eloquent, but it's where I am. That's where he can use me. And it's where you are. That's where he wants to use you at right now. There's a thought pattern that I've found over the years, and it's straight from the pit of hell. And that thought pattern is, I'm not ready. That thought pattern is straight from the pit of hell. I'm not ready. When you get saved, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you start on the path. Guess what? You could walk out that door and tell somebody else about Jesus, and they get saved the very next moment. It's that easy. Maybe you're not ready to go into a 10,000 seat auditorium and start ministering to people, but maybe that's not where God's wanting you to minister anyway. Maybe it's just the little world that you're surrounded by every day. It's as simple as that. Okay. I want to get back on this just a little bit more about power and authority. Go to Acts 6. And this fits in perfectly with what I just said. Perfectly. We're going to read a little bit here. We're just going to start in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called to the multitude of the disciples, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the world, the word of God, and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and and Timon and those other names, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8. And Stephen, now what was he? What was he? Was he the man that stood and preached? What was his job? What was he doing here? It says, and Stephen, full of faith and power. And the word power in verse 8, that word power is dunamis, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I want to do that. Great? How do you think? How much is great? How awesome is great wonders and miracles? Great wonders and miracles. You see, we have a hard time. We read some of these accounts, but we just read them, and see, we have our own set of ideas about our life. So we read this with our understanding of what life's all about. And we read about a guy that's waiting on tables, and we miss the fact that he's one of us. He's doing life, doing what he's supposed to do, and God shows up. He's obedient, and God shows up. And they have a few miracles. No. They have great. It says great wonders. Wonders even and miracles. You know, that might even be a leg growing back. Just growing back. Great wonders and miracles. I believe I'm preaching this morning because you need to have that picture refreshed inside of you. It's not the first time you heard this message, by no means. I've heard it. But a refreshing of that picture inside of you, of an expectation of something other than the daily grind happening in my life. Something more. How can that happen? It's because I have been invested with the authority of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. I have received an investment of the authority of God. And when I speak in the name of Jesus, I release the Holy Spirit to move on those words and cause those words to come to pass when they're in line with His will, plan, and purpose. Not just because I want to see something happen. Not just because I say something that's not according to the Word of God. When it's according to the Word of God, and it's in line with His will, which is His Word, and I speak, I can expect, and I should expect, to see God's power moving, creating, causing wonders, causing miracles to happen. Ephesians chapter 1 says, let's just look at the whole prayer starting in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And these are things that we're praying that we would know. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Power here is dunamis. The first power is dunamis. To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That word power the second time is, I'm going to say it, my pronunciation is Kratos, which is dominion. And I looked that up. If you look it up just in the Webster's, dominion is supreme authority. So look at that verse one more time. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, dominion, supreme authority? This is the example. Prince Charles, I think that's one of the sons. Now, to all practical purposes, he's born into royalty. But at this moment, he hasn't stepped into that place, the highest place, from my understanding. But he has, just by simply being born into this family. No, he could have been born into any family. Any family. But he was born into royalty. And because of that, he will step into that position of authority over the whole country. At this moment, he doesn't wield that highest level of authority. As a child, growing up, you know, he could walk up to the servants, and there would have to be some level of respect, even though that servant is 20 or 30 years senior to that child. But because of that level of authority that he was born into, not because he earned it, not because he deserved it, but just simply because of birth, that servant would even have to respect the authority that young man would have. And the reason I bring that up is the supreme dominion part of this. Dominion, supreme authority. If he said something, even as a young person growing up, he has the dominion of the kingdom backing his words. Now, obviously, they're not going to, a 5-year-old, they're not going to make world changes because of what he says. But as he grows up, you know, as that maturing process happens, there's more credibility given to that man. Even before he takes that highest position, there's growth. There's maturing, is what I'm trying to point out. With us, with me, there's a maturing process in the Spirit that I get to step, now follow me, step a little bit more into that place where God can look at me and say, yes, he has enough mortification, enough change inside of him, a little bit more of this authority. He can wield a little bit more of this. He's not going to hurt anybody. He's not going to hurt himself now. There was a long time I would have hurt myself with the kind of authority we're talking about. Let's go over to Colossians. We'll finish up there. Colossians chapter 1. And this was the other prayer that Paul prayed, starting in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. And that is his supreme authority power. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. This is what I'm being strengthened by. Just like Prince Charles is strengthened with the authority of their kingdom, I am being strengthened with the authority of the kingdom of God. When I speak, devils shake. You don't see them, but you don't have to see them. The devils shake when you speak. When you are uttering the word of God out of your mouth, you're speaking the will of God, the Holy Ghost with the dynamis, awesome, miracle-working power of God is being released, they shake. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not shaken. Doesn't mean they're not leaving. They may try to hang around a little bit. And they might wait to see if you're really serious or not. I had one instance, and I'll close with this. I had one instance where, while living in Florida, I had an encounter with a deer tick. Bit me on the back of the leg. Got about this big before I finally went to the doctor. The symptoms, it's for some reason, I don't even remember. What was that? What was it called? Lyme's disease. The symptoms, it's basically if you have these symptoms, then this is what you have. There's not really a conclusive test. And I went to the doctor. I got the medicine. It's high power, some kind of penicillin. Took those. But I will never forget when I got free of it. It was like yesterday. The house we lived in, it was a real simple house. The back bedroom was where I prayed. It was Friday afternoon. I had messed around with this thing for weeks now. The numbness had gradually gone up my legs. But I will never forget marching around that room, stomping my legs, telling the devil he was not going to win, that I was free, that I was healed. And I did that, and I kept doing it. And I will never forget that afternoon, because it was that afternoon that it manifested and it left. Somewhere inside of me, the part of me that believes, believed. And the words that I spoke were faith-filled words. And the Holy Ghost moved on those words and produced the result of the healing in my body. And it happens not because I'm special. It happened for my wife, not because she's special. It's because this is special. It's because God invested within us authority. And he gave us. He said, it's better off if I leave and I send the Holy Spirit. Because when you speak my word, he'll move on those words and you will have what you say. You will have it. Thank you all for listening. Be blessed. We'll see you back here in half an hour.